Hey, Chicagoland, it's Richard Roper. When it comes to building a great digital presence, you want a team you can trust, and I can tell you, I'd highly recommend the experts at AmericanEagle.com. For decades, they've been creating top-tier websites for businesses of all sizes. They offer web design and development, digital marketing, cloud hosting, AI consulting, and so much more. Their top-tier experts can solve even the toughest digital challenges. If you're ready to elevate your business, visit AmericanEagle.com. That's AmericanEagle.com.
Apparently, there is a smoking problem on the CTA. More on that now from Richard Roper. Richard, good morning. You know what? I remember as a kid seeing the signs on buses and on the L, no smoking, no spitting. Apparently, spitting is no longer a problem.
A lot of times they go hand in hand, especially if you're like a third base coach for the Boston Braves back in the day, right? But yeah, you know, this is. I thought the story was amazing when I saw there were 14,000 smoking complaints that the CTA had logged in the last 14,000. So if you figure that most people probably just go, oh God, someone's smoking, they move to the next car or they don't say anything. What does that, was there, does that mean there were like 1.4 million incidents of people smoking?
It sounds
Doesn't that
like
number seem crazy?
A lot, yeah.
And they said the blue line was second. Red line led the league with 5,500. They clinched the bye, and then it was the blue line and the green line. And they issue, so they actually issue citations, Bob. And you know, remember the famous line from Basic Instinct? What are you going to do, arrest me for smoking? They can, actually, if you refuse to put it out. And, you know, there are fines and everything. But I the idea of the complaints, like, how do you lodge the complaint? I guess you do it through email, right?
And how do you enforce it, really?
Well, it has to be a Chicago police officer or, obviously, or a CTA security guard seeing someone, right? And approaching them and telling them to put out the cigarette.
They have other things to do.
They do. So, and I think, let's face it, you know, if someone's smoking, are you going to be the person that, because someone who's smoking where you're not supposed to smoke, right? Is that the kind of person you're going to say, don't smoke? Hey, put out that cigarette. Do you want to get, is that the hill? The nicotine hill you're going to die on, Robert? I don't think so.
Maybe they should have sections like they used to do on the plane, remember? You'd be one row in front of the smoking section.
Yeah, which really helped. Well, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, and I always, you know, people always talk about when you get on a plane and they still had the ashtray, but it was just welded shut. You're like, this plane's been around since Don Draper took it to New York back in the day. But, you know, you mentioned that because this is kind of incredible when you think about it. Wasn't that long ago, less than 20 years ago, because to me, a national holiday should have been January 16th, 2006. That's when the Chicago Clean Indoor Air Ordinance took effect. Up until then, you could smoke a lot of places in public workplaces. And then July 1st, 2007, they got rid of the exception for bars and restaurants because, as you said, you could go into a restaurant smoking or non-smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
And remember the scene? You don't see it too much anymore on the street. People smoking outside because they couldn't in the building.
Well, let's face it. The smokers, they can cop to this. It was the greatest scam of all time because you'd say, oh, I got to go take a smoke break. And people would just go along with it. So there'd be these clusters of smokers huddled outside. And you're supposed to not even be near the entranceway. But they do it four times a day. So my friends and I would say, well, we're going to go take a non-smoking break. We're going to do some squats and lunges, you know. No, stay at your post. So why did you get to take that time off for smoke break? People were sensitive to smokers. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, you know, most of us, you know, you're asking, are you really going to confront somebody on the CTA? But haven't you done this? You give somebody like the stink eye, you know, if you're around the smoke.
I give them the exaggerated Downton Abbey level smallpox cough from before there were cures for most diseases. You know, you just
That's
do that kind
one.
Of thing, and you just like, oh, and then you just look at them. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that disturb you? Did my possible disease from your smoking disturb you? I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah,
so
inconsiderate. Hope they get the message.
Yeah,
there is. A cool event at the Chicago Cultural Center marking the 50th anniversary of the on-air partnership of film critics Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. They're doing a series of films that the boys championed. And does it start today? It started last night.
I think last night, Eve's Bayou, a great film that Roger had as his best film, I think, of 97, and Breaking Away. So they're celebrating movies that Roger and Gene earlier on in their partnership really championed. Breaking Away, which is a great inspirational movie, The Little 500, set in Indianapolis. What fascinates me about this, Bob, of all the events they've got going, on the 22nd, They're going to have two actors playing Roger and Gene on stage, like a two-man play. And that to me, I would actually like to check that out. Because years ago, there was actually talk of a movie. You know, they do movies like Quiz Show, and they do things about the early days of television. And at one point, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were even attached. I don't know who would play who there. I guess Matt would play Roger, do you think?
I don't know, but I would have loved it if Gene and Roger were around to review that.
Oh, and they would, if they didn't like it, they would have said so, you know, especially those two guys. But yeah, they're going to have the live performance, and our friend Rick Hogan, I know it's going to, I think I'm going to join Rick. He doesn't know this yet, but I think, but it's pretty fascinating when you look at the, you know, the history of the show, because it started off as opening soon at a theater near you on WTTW.
And you, of course, were part of the movie review show for quite a while, weren't you?
Yeah, it's interesting, too. I looked back. In 1995, they were celebrating their 20th anniversary, and this is classic Roger and Gene. They decided that only one of the two newspapers, the Tribune or the Sun-Times, could get the exclusive. Who's going to get the scoop? Uh-huh. The interview with the boys in the screening room at Lake Street. And Gene, who was with the Tribune, said, I want Richard to do it for the Sun-Times. I think that would be best. And Roger was like, what kind of game are you trying to play right now? So I ended up getting the exclusive interview with the two guys in the screening room at Lake Street, where they saw all the movies in advance. And the Tribune editors were so thrilled with Gene for picking me to do it.
Here's a clip from the very first show on WTTW. They weren't caffeinated yet, were they?
You know, it had that, and they looked, you know, they looked great. Gene had the big walrus mustache, and Roger in the sweater vest. I probably have told this story before, but when the show went national and was syndicated across the country, it was on KABC in Los Angeles. It's an ABC affiliate there. And the first night it aired, Harry Dean Stanton, the great character actor, called Jack Nicholson and said, you got to turn on Channel 7. There's two guys who look like us talking about movies. Because it was that regular guy approach that made it. And, you know, it became such a cultural touchstone, Bob, and famously on Letterman's show. Remember, Letterman had two chairs next to his desk, but he'd only have one guest at a time out there. You know, he wouldn't have the couch like Carson. And Julia Roberts was on there, and she said, why do you have two chairs if you only have one guest at a time? And he said, Siskel and Ebert.
When they were on the Tonight Show or Letterman, it was always an event. And it must have been fun for you to be part of the show. After Gene died, you worked with Roger for quite a while.
You know, Bob, first of all, yeah, it was a career and a personal highlight. And, you know, talking about these shows, one of the cool things about being on the show with Roger was from the start, he said, this has to be an equal partnership for this to work. It can't be Roger Ebert and Richard Roper. It has to be Ebert and Roper. They flipped a coin for Siskel and Ebert. That's how the title came. And he goes, we're not flipping a coin. I'm going to be first. But when we'd go on The Tonight Show or Conan or any of those programs, he always made sure, he'd go, we have to alternate. You'll be closer to the desk this time. You get equal time. So he was so generous with his time, which made it really, because the first time I was on The Tonight Show, I'm backstage thinking, what am I doing here? You know, you're waiting for someone to kind of yank you and say, you know, imposter syndrome. So one of the great things, in addition to doing the show, was how gracious he was when we hit the road for things and we were treated, you know, the same way, because Roger made sure of that.
Nice. Richard Roper, thumbs up. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Bob.
And it's sponsored by AmericanEagle.com, web design development and digital marketing agency.